play.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building, nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. This week, previewing the 2019 RBC Canadian Open up in Hamilton Golf Club in Ontario, Canada. I'm going to go with that one there because I couldn't pronounce the other one. But yeah, it's going to be a fun one, interesting field to break it down. As always, my co-host, you can find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing?
Doing well, man. I thought we were switching roles and I was going to become the host and you were going to be the more quote-unquote expert given your recent run here.
Nah, we won't go there. If it would have held on Sunday, I'd let you talk about it, but no. I appreciate the kind thoughts, but the last few weeks have been very good. It's just and they're still winning weeks, but it's just been the story of the season where my good lineups go into Sunday. Usually it's Saturday and Sunday. This time it was just Sunday. And they all decide that they're not going to play golf. They're content with being even par or over par for the day. Yep. And it really takes, I was as high as fifth place in the $3 three max on Saturday. I had one at fifth place and one in 71st place. My 2 6 of sixes. Both of them ended up, I think one was like 76th and one was like 100 and something. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It hurt.
I get it.
It hurt.
It was a weird week, man. I had 1 6 of 6 at min cashed, and that was it.
Jeez.
And because the guys just refused to go forward on the weekend. And I had a 4 of 6 in the 444 that actually cashed for $800.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
Weird shit, man. My 5 of 6 lineup, and it was a 5 of 6 because of Matt Kuchar. That was the only miscut. It actually did better than one of my 6 of 6s.
So weird, man. Like the last 2 weeks have been very strange for as small as the fields are, just the chalk getting absolutely slaughtered.
Which I enjoy.
So that leads us straight into the Memorial.
Yes, the Memorial. That was pure chalk. And congrats to some of our Slack chat guys. They had some huge weeks. Joe Rogers, our Illini buddy, Dirework. Some guys did some really good stuff. Kevin had another big week over there. A lot going on in the Slack chat, so the guys are doing well, and we're cranking up. We got the RBC this weekend. We got the Open next week. Like you said, the Memorial just took place, and Patrick Cantlay took it down. He played some great golf. He was a course history guy. He was the kind of other chalk outside of Kuchar, and that's kind of why it went downhill for me is when he took off on Sunday, those 6 of 6 lineups didn't have him. The 5 of 6 did, but not the 6 of 6, and it just drowned me because of how popular he was. But what's your thoughts on Cantlay? Because he played great golf. We knew it was coming, and he got it done.
Yeah, I mean, he's been trending that way for a while, obviously. So not a big surprise at all whatsoever for me to see him, shoot 64 on Sunday and more or less run away with it. But yeah, I mean, dude, he's just been playing really solid, good golf recently. So totally not, I mean, you could kind of see it coming with the course history and stuff like that. Of course, I thought Kuch would be that guy, but what a weird fucking week that was.
Do we even want to talk about Kuchar trying to get his ball fixed on Thursday?
Well, it wasn't his ball. It was just trying to get relief from.
Didn't you want to get relief from the mark?
Yeah, he was trying to get a relief from a ball mark in the middle of the fairway. It was really odd to see the balls plugging like they were and then not playing lift clean in place. We got a bunch of rain up in Columbus. And they didn't play any lift clean in place. I watched a bunch of golf this weekend, and just about every shot that hit the fairway was making a pretty good ball mark. His ball hits the fairway, kind of jumps back, and then rolls forward back into the same mark. I thought it was the same mark, anyways. And then he tries, to get several officials out there to get relief from it, and they wouldn't let him drop it. He makes a par anyway, so it's not a huge deal. But then he goes on to miss the cut. I mean, the top two guys this past week, Justin Thomas and Matt Kuchar. Kuchar was 30%, Thomas almost 22%. Both of them just absolutely shit the bed. Finau, another guy. Rory, another guy. Keegan, for whatever reason, he was super high on, did not understand that at all whatsoever. But it's just been like that for the last couple of weeks. This continues to be an odd fucking year. And the only thing I can think of is it's the new schedule. I mean, that's, I don't know what else it is, dude. I mean, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it could be. It could be guys playing kind of a different schedule for themselves, like you're saying. It's just weird. I think the carnage we've been seeing, and I could be totally wrong, it seems to be taking place more often at these more shot maker type courses where it's making some of these guys get penalties and like making it difficult for them. I could be totally wrong. It's just what it feels like. It feels like, you know, the kind of lower end guys we don't talk about as much, they kind of hang around more because they're just poking and prodding through the golf course, where some of these big boys, the kind of chalkier guys, are bombers. And not saying they can't play short, but it feels like they're the ones that are getting in trouble more often than others. Obviously, Kuchar was standing, but Kuchar does hit it farther than people think. But yeah, Kuchar was standing. It is, we're seeing more of that, it feels like. It could be totally wrong, but it's been interesting on some of these weirder courses, shorter courses, seeing a lot more carnage of late.
Yeah, it's odd to say the least. This has been one of the weirdest years of PGA DFS in general. But yeah, Cantlay gets it done. Adam Scott was up there in the top 10. Martin Keimer out of fucking nowhere. Mm-hmm. Kevin Streelman, who we talked about last week a little bit. Mark Leishman was in the top five. Hideki up there. Duffner. Spieth again. Tiger made a Sunday run. So it was a good golf tournament, man. I love watching that golf tournament and that golf course. It's a fun golf course to watch.
Yeah, I got to watch a good amount in the evenings on Thursday and Friday and watched a little bit off and on throughout the weekend. And, yeah, it's great listening to the Jack there doing his thing. It was a good tournament, really good tournament, and hopefully it continues to be the memorial as we remember. But we'll move on to this year's RBC Canadian Open, and it's at a new golf course compared to recent years. It's been here before. Why don't you give us some past event history on the RBC Canadian Open?
Yeah, so they have moved this around a little bit. Glen Abbey was kind of the host for the 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive years from 15 to 18. And then now they've moved it to this Hamilton Golf and Country Club, which has hosted it several times. Most recently in 2012, Scott Piercy was your champion at 17 under over Robert Garrigus and one William McGirt. And it also, it kind of more recently is, I mean, there's been, like I said, other times that it's hosted it, but for our purpose, I mean, 2007, and Jim Furyk was a champion there. That was, his first of back to back. But, so, I mean, that's kind of your course history, event history wise. DJ won last year. Vegas won the 2 years in a row prior to that. Jason Day was a winner here. Tim Clark, South African feller, won in 2014. Brant Snedeker was the 2013 champion. So,
yeah,
that's kind of it.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays last year because we kind of got used to Glen Abbey. Cool little setup. You know, they had the hockey rink on one of the par threes, and we knew the course pretty well. Going to Hamilton, it's been a while, and they've made some renovations. They've taken some trees out. It's not as tree-lined, but still pretty heavily tree-lined. It's a par 70, plays a little less than 7,000 yards. The fairways are forgiving. Like, they're wide. They're not forgiving, as in you can just hit it everywhere. But they're not, like, narrow, narrow tree-lined fairways. They have some room to get it in there. But at the same time, if you hit the rough, it's very penal. It's very thick, very tough rough to get out of. There's chances of light rain on Thursday, but not a ton. So the moisture shouldn't be too bad, but you don't want to get in the rough. This is another one of those shot makers, accuracy off the tee, approach shot in courses, lots of dog legs, lots of fairway bunkers you have to navigate to get to the greens that are smaller than normal greens. They're okay size, but smaller than average on tour, and they're very slow, anywhere from about 10.5 to 11.5 on the stimp, which is slow for PGA standards. And they're POA with bent grass greens. So we're going to see a trend along with that, kind of your western, northwest type feel to the greens. But the big thing is stay in play, stay out of the rough, accurate off the tee, less than driver course, shot makers course, pretty much the same thing I've said the last couple weeks. That's one thing I'll be focusing on is guys that have been playing well of late, good iron guys, kind of similar player pools to recent weeks. Sadly, the player pool this week sucks, so it's going to be a little different to get that same player pool, but that's the basis for Hamilton Golf and Country Club. Nothing crazy, but it'll be cool to see how it plays on TV as we haven't seen it in a while. Jesse, what are the key stats you'll be looking for this week?
It's a great question. I've thought about this all day, man. I'm like, what, you know, I've eventually landed on driving accuracy versus over distance. Just read some of Josh Culp at Future Fantasy. He puts out a great article every week. I know you read it as well. And there was just some quotes in there for some guys that basically, you know, you want to keep it in play. I've seen different, I've seen pictures of the rough. I just feel like, you know, if that holds on to basically where everybody is like, oh, it's accuracy, 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 then I might go the other way. Now, I typically play 3 to 4 lineups a week, so I'll probably have what I've decided to probably do this week is concentrate like one accuracy guys off the tee. You know, obviously high greens and regulation, I always weight that pretty highly. And then the other one would be just more bombers and just see if that works and see if that is a contrarian way to go. Because we just don't know how this golf course is going to play. That's the one thing that sucks about new golf courses on tour. Obviously, this one's not brand new, but it, you know, they haven't played it since 2012, so not many people have played it. And then also, too, this is one thing to remember. This is a week before the U.S. Open. Guys tend to sometimes mail it in and head to that venue early. And then also, you know, they just may not give a shit. And miss the cut or withdraw. So it's kind of a sketchy week.
What about talking about guys missing the cut and heading out early? How cool was it while golf is still getting like wrapping up or just wrapped up at the Memorial? And there's Rory McIlroy at the Toronto game on the big screen when he should have been playing golf.
You mean JT?
No, Rory was there too.
Was he really?
I didn't see JT. I saw Rory. He's on the.
I saw JT just Snapchatted that he was on the floor.
That's where they might have been sitting close to each other, then probably.
Yeah,
that's where Rory was. I just laughed.
Yeah, I mean, good for those guys. JT being that high on last week was just wild to me. I never thought everybody was going to jump on board like that. And if they would have, I would have completely jumped off. So, but either way, it's just one of those weeks where it's a good week to just kind of scale back and just. Maybe wait for next week when we got Pebble at least, or we know semi how it's going to play. Did you watch the Women's U.S. Open this week?
No, I did not. I did not catch any of that. I heard it was good. I heard, Hank Haney was right, but that's all I heard.
Totally getting off topic here, but that is going to be like if they do that the same way, if Fox does it the same way that they did the Women's U.S. Open, they went completely commercial-free from 2 o'clock till they ended. So like five straight hours, no commercials, just straight. I mean, 95% of it was golf shots. They had their occasional, you know, interview, go off and talk about this, that, or the other.
Which is fine if there's no commercials.
Right. Not a huge deal. And that was kind of early on. But by the end of it, I mean, like, so my wife comes home at like 6 o'clock and I'm sitting there watching it because I was enjoying watching that more than I was the Memorial because fucking CBS goes to commercial every 5 minutes or they want to interview somebody or whatever. So anyways, watching that, I actually left. Went out to my neighbor's house for a second, came back, and she's like, why did you leave this on? I was like, yeah, you can't turn it off, can you? You can't turn it off, dude. It was awesome to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. Like, it was really fun. Let me tell you something, too. Nobody can make a golf course look worse than USGA.
They're the worst, man. They're the freaking worst. And that's what I'm bound that they can't screw Pebble up. I'm praying to God they can't screw Pebble up. We'll see. Well,
surely. I mean, it's going to depend a lot on rain, so we're going to need you to.
Well, I'll be out there Tuesday at the practice round, and I'll be out there Sunday for the final round. So Tuesday's practice round, I'll be able to give you guys a – that'll be in the Slack chat. Come on down. I'll let you know because I've already seen pictures recently from some other people that have gone out there about the rough, looking pretty – it was kind of where I saw it at the Pro-Am where they were kind of cutting things differently. Now they're growing it out. I'll be able to check that out.
They grew. Yeah. We'll get into it more, obviously. We're off in left field here, but
just tells you what this tournament's all about.
The pictures I saw, it looked like it was going to play really tough. They grew up some tall rough just off the fairway. So
if you don't hit the fairway, you're screwed.
It's going to be interesting. Anyways, all right, so back to what are you looking at for?
I'm looking at accuracy, guys. We're looking at Fanshare Sports real quick. If you want to go to fansharesports.com, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, all underscore, always press, one word, underscore, gets a 25% off. Package deal over there, get you ready for the U.S. Open and much more. They got great content over there. We use them all the time for ownerships and other projections and whatnot over there. And the great tools at FanchierSports.com. Look at guys coming in good form over their last six events. Even with the missed cut, Matt Kuchar leads the field in DraftKings points at 90 points on average in his last six outings. And then it goes DJ, Rory, Brooks. I'm not counting guys that have one event, but Scott Piercy is averaging over 77, Henson, Lucas Biergard, and Graham McDowell. So kind of the who's who, but then some interesting ones down below when you take a peek at it. And then when you look at guys, I was trying to figure it out because I usually go like past events here. Well, that doesn't really work. So I did past six events on Bent Poa Greens, basically, to kind of get where we're at here. Leading the field in the last three times he's played on Bent Poa, Brooks Koepka is averaging almost 115 DraftKings points. Patrick Cantlay, who's not in this field, I don't think, so I don't know why they did that. And then a bunch of names I've never heard of, like Tad Ridings is in this. He's playing well. There's a bunch of weird names, but DJ, their thing is a little messed up because that can't be right. Oh, because I'm an idiot. Apply filter. Did you know that? If you apply the filter, it works. So leading the field in the last five events is DJ at 86, Brooks Koepka at 79, so that makes more sense. JT at 77, Brandon Harkins plays well on Poa, Kevin Tway, T-Dunks, Scott Langley, JB Holmes, Daniel Berger, and Rory McIlroy. That sounds more like the field we're playing in. Thank you, Bubba. All right, let's get this this train wreck back on track here, Jesse. let's get into the DraftKings scoring. I hope you guys enjoy the show as much as we do right now. We got five guys over 10K, and this is going to be interesting because we'll talk strategy throughout this and towards the end. It's going to be tough to get starters and scrubs because the scrubs are like scrubs. Like I'd probably rather play web.com players than what's going on down there. But we got DJ at 11.9, Brooks at 11.7. Rory at 11.2, Cooch at 10.5, JT at 10. And if anybody's missed it, Brooks Koepka has already come out and said this is the Canadian Open. It's like the Canadian major. So he's either just placating everybody or we know how Brooks goes. Just keep that in mind. But he's 11.7, DJ 11.9. Who do you got up top here, Jesse?
I mean, it's kind of like pick your poison. It's been obviously kind of a slaughter fest for me up in this range recently. It's hard for me not to go back to Rory. DJ is he's the class of the field. I mean, just if you look at his stats, they just are he's hitting the ball so well, putting so well. He's got the full package. He's also an RBC. He's sponsored by RBC.
That's why he plays the Heritage now. That's
right. So he will probably take this a little bit more seriously than maybe some others would. I think there's merit in playing all five of these guys up top here. It'll just be an ownership deal for me, but I do like Rory. I don't think most people will be on him. And then after everybody got burnt by Cooch and JT last week, be interesting to see their ownership. Obviously, both of them missed the cut. Two highest owned guys last week could get them at depressed ownership. So that would be like a large field GPP play. Those two for me. Otherwise, I'll probably have a little bit of all five of these guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, they're all great plays. It's just a matter of finding what to pair with down below. And if you can make it work, then it's going to be great because you nailed it. DJ is the class of the field. Brooks, I mentioned the whole open thing because he's making jokes about it because he does struggle in tournaments like this. Like, he doesn't struggle, but he finishes like 20th. And that's not going to work for 11-7. So it's tough here. Can he win? Of course. Like, there's no questioning that. I'm ready for him to win the open and three-peat it because you know how motivated he plays to three-peat a U.S. Open. That'd be insane to watch. But for me, it's pretty simple. It's DJ at 11.9. If you're paying up, you're paying all the way to the cream of the crop. This guy, like you said, he's elite. Everything matches up here. He's the man. He's one of those bombers that can really play both styles really, really well. That's why he plays well at Pebble and plays well at the bomber courses. DJ plays it so well at 11.9. And then I'm going Cooch at 10.5. I'm hoping that ownership's kind of lowered because of last week. It's Kuchar, man. It's his first missed cut of the year. You know he can play great. He's also an RBC sponsor. At 10-5, I have no problem going back to Kuchar. I'd like to use Justin Thomas. I don't know because he's using this. He wasn't even in this field until like last Wednesday.
Friday.
He's in this to get more reps. So is that more reps for 2 days and then go to Pebble, or is that four rounds of reps? What does Justin Thomas want for reps?
Yeah,
that's what I'm concerned about.
The other thing about JT, man, he's been spraying his driver all over the place. And if the rough is as bad as people are saying, then he will probably not have a very good time around here. So, yeah, Kuchar, would be the play over JT, but I can see playing them both for ownership reasons. Both of them should be depressed. And like you said before, it's not very comfortable to fit to do a Stars and Scrubs lineup or to get one of these guys in there and then have to dip down to low sevens. So I can see the chalky guys coming from the next two ranges we're going to talk about here, and balance being the way of the week for most people.
No doubt about it. Let's get into that 9K range. Five guys: Webb Simpson at 97, Sergio at 95, Piercy 93, Stenson 91, Brandt at 9,000. There's a lot to like here. I'm afraid some of the chalk is stuff I like, but where are you starting here in the 9K range?
I think Webb is totally fine to play this week. I'd never get him right, but originally I had driving distance weighted and no accuracy on Fantasy Labs, and then, like I said, read up on Josh Culp stuff and read some of those quotes from those guys, and so I switched it around, and then Webb went way up from where he was. So I do like him. I think I like Piercy. Obviously, he is the defending champion at this golf course, and has played really well of late. So don't mind him one bit. And then Sneds at 9,000. Just looking over some course history stats, which four rounds. I mean, you know, not weighting it much, but he played pretty well. He hit it well around this golf course last time, and just finished 34th. But does have two straight top 20s on tour, including that 16th place there at the PGA Championship. So, Brandt, my two favorite, though, would be Webb and Scott Piercy.
Yeah, we're a lot on the same page here. I really like Webb. Courses like this, yes, he can drive it a little bit, but he's not a bomber. But he's a really good, you know, iron play approach guy, and his putter is so much better than it once was. So, Webb at 97, I like a lot. I'm worried a lot of people might go there just to have a kind of upper echelon guy, but not go all the way to the top type guy. So Webb, I like a 97. Piercy, I like a 93 for everything you just said. And then the other guy I'm looking at is Henrik Stenson at 91. He's still striking the ball so well. He can still hit his 3-wood on courses like this and set him up beautifully. It's just putting it all together. And he had that one blow up in the third round of Memorial, still finished T37. He just hasn't put the consistent four rounds together. He's put like three good ones and then a what just happened type round. So I don't mind going back to him in a field like this at 9,100. I think a field that he can get ramped up again for Pebble, and I think he'll take it seriously because he hasn't really had that kind of Sunday sweat in a while that he wants to probably get under his belt before he goes back into a major championship. So for me, I like Stenson, Webb, and Piercy quite a bit. If I might have missed your thoughts on Sergio if you mentioned him, but you know, as bad as he's been playing, he's still an upper echelon guy, and of course he doesn't have to bomb it, but he does have to stay in the fairway. I'm imagining he might be one of the lower owned guys here, or do you think I'm wrong?
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right. I mean, his big issue at the PGA Championship where he missed the cut was he couldn't hit the fairways. But before that, he was hitting basically 60%, which is decent, and he was T4 there at Wells Fargo Championship. Basically, just has missed the cut at the two major championships this year. This is not a major, so yeah, I don't mind him. I probably won't be on him at this point. I don't see myself playing any. But yeah, from an ownership standpoint, I could see that.
All right, let's drop into the 8K range here. We got Bubba Watson at 89, Furyk at 88, Duffner at 87, Lowry at 86, Keegan 85, Bud Cauley at 84, Adam Hadwin 83, Palmer 82, Cook 81, Lucas Biergaard 8,000. And Daniel Berger at $8,000. So there's a lot you can do here. Where are you starting out in the 8K range?
Yeah, this is kind of like once you get past Bubba, it's just like, what the fuck from here on out, right? Mm-hmm. Bubba's interesting play to me. Like, I don't know why he's playing. Do you?
Yeah, I was surprised he was in this field.
I am too. Surprised. Obviously missed the cut. He hasn't played since the PGA Championship. Maybe that's why. Maybe. It's just another start for him or whatever. Will he like this golf course? Poa Greens kind of scares me from some of the quotes. The putting is not difficult if you're above the hole or pin high. You got to keep it below the hole. So his putting has been really strange recently, just watching him. I think for a GPP, like, I'm leaning towards him. But I just don't know. He's so strange. Other than that, I think, I mean, paying up for Furyk is something else.
It's all about the field.
Yeah. But I don't, I think playing him in this field, I think is fine at $8,800, just depending on your lineup construction. Duffner at 87, hitting a shit ton of fairways, 75% over his last 12 weeks, which are 6 weeks, excuse me. So, I mean, obviously that's good. Shane Lowry, man, $8,600. Did not realize he top 10 at the PGA Championship, but he did. Before that, he was third at the Heritage, and that was after three consecutive missed cuts. Big price for him here. Obviously, he was 7,200 at the PGA Championship, so we got a big price hike. But he's there on the model, so I will play him. Then I'm going all the way down, skipping everybody else, and I'm just going to say Daniel Berger because I've played him. His finishes have not been great. It's because he really just can't put four rounds together consecutively to get, like, you know, inside the top 10. But he's got that ability, and I think it's coming. So I will play Daniel Berger a lot at $8,000.
I had a feeling you'd be going to Berger, so no problem with that at all. Jim Furyk at 88, I can go to him. And then Duffner at 87. I imagine Duff will be chalky, extremely chalky. Because
I don't know, man. Playing.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because of that price bump, man. You know, 7,400 last week, 7,400 the week before that. I mean, that's a ginormous price hike. I could be wrong, 100%. He's not played here.
$7,400 prices are much better fields.
I really think that Bud Cauley is your chalk. Coming off the good finish last week, he top 10 last week, and he finished fourth here in 2012. So I really think Bud Cauley is your chalk in this range, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, we'll see. But Duffner 87, I like a lot. I do like Cauley. If he's chalk, I don't like Cauley. I don't want chalk Cauley ever. But $8,400 is a good play just for the fact that he's striking it well, coming in good form. A lot of things we saw last week will play over very well in this tournament. So I like that quite a bit. Then a couple other ones down here. If you need to find some cheaper guys, I don't mind taking shots on them. You're going to hear the narratives a lot, but Adam Hadwin, fellow Canadian, he's not lighting the world on fire, but he's making cuts. T52 last week, T30 at the PGA, 38 to 48. So nothing crazy good, but he's getting through in a lighter field. He can maybe, you know, creep into the top 20 there at $8,300. I don't hate that at all. You mentioned Berger. The last one I'll mention here is Austin Cook. He was playing some really, really bad golf of late. T9 at the Valspar, the Mystic cut at the Valero, at the RBC, at the Byron Nelson, then a T19 at Charles Schwab and T27 last week. He played really well until a 76 on Saturday this past week. So I don't mind him at $8,100. It's a guy we've seen creep up leaderboards and again in a smaller field. I think with him it's more about the driver gives him trouble, and the fact he doesn't have to hit the driver keeps him in play and keeps him out of trouble. So Cookie at 81, I don't hate either. So it's interesting. Like Furyk, Duffner, Cauley, Hadwin, Cook would be the kind of guys I'd be looking at. Duffner is my favorite in this 8K range. But, ownership will play a big part on how things go in the 8K area.
Do you know what happened to Cook on Saturday?
No, what happened?
I put him in my showdown lineup.
I thought something else happened. That's funny. That's funny.
That was it. Because he had really good rounds otherwise.
Okay, then I'm going to give you my list of players from now on. Just don't put him in the showdowns at all.
I'm kidding.
All right, let's get to the 7K range. Who do you got 7,500 and above?
This is kind of where you just, you know, throw some darts here. I do think Erik van Rooyen missed the cut in Denmark after the top 10 there at the PGA Championship. Maybe it was some jet lag. I don't know, because he flew like directly over to the maiden Denmark Open Masters Championship. And so, you know, I'm throwing that out. I like him. I do think people will be on him, though. I'm looking at Alexander Noren, though, at $7,700. Made a bunch of cuts in a row now, five straight cuts on tour. He's been over here. Seems like his game is coming around. I was just kind of watching PGA birdies last week, and he was making a bunch of them. He made a bunch of eagles as well. If he can just avoid the big numbers. I like him at $7,700 off as a pivot off of Van Roy in there. And two other plays. I mean, I'm not huge fans, but JV Holmes, I mean, $7,600 for him. I guess it's because he finished 15th here in 2012, but he's made, since his win at the Genesis Open, which still blows my mind how he won that golf tournament, miscut, 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 62nd, WD, miscut, miscut.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's I just, you know what you call that, Jesse? A GPP play.
I mean, God bless. That is awful.
And I know I've been on him a couple times on those missed cut rounds where it seemed like it set up beautifully, and then boom goes the dynamite.
So really just going off the 12th place finish here in 2012, I don't know how much I'll play him, but I just want to throw it out there. And then Nick Watney, man, I mean, if I could ever get him right, 22nd at the Memorial last week, 8th at the Charles Schwab the week before. That was a miscut at Byron Nelson, but then 31st at the Wells Fargo. Totally different course at the Byron Nelson. So just kind of throw that out. Nick Watney at 7,500 would be a play for me.
Yeah, I like the Noren call because it's one thing we talked about a lot last year. I don't think we talked a ton about it this year, but when it comes to DraftKings, finishing position obviously isn't everything. We look for scoring. And you look at a guy like Alexander Noren, 3 of the last 4 weeks, he had 72.5 or more DraftKings points, yet he never finished better than 28th, 28th, 35th, 41st. Even his 41st was 72.5 because he scores. Birdies, eagles, like you said, he just finds a way to put bogeys and everything in play, but he scores unlike other guys. So you don't find a lot of guys that finish T41 with 72.5 DraftKings points.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's something to that, like you're saying. He can be a birdie maker, and as we know from past events here with Pierce to get 1,700 and some other ones, birdies can be had here. The conditions aren't going to be bad weather-wise. Like the scoring should play up here. So it's not a horrible call at all with Noren for a guy that even if he doesn't finish great, should put up some DraftKings points for you. Some other guys I like, Joaquin Neiman at 7,700, made a couple cuts in a row here. Not here, but of late. That could be an interesting play. Maybe he starts finding that form we've been looking for. Graham McDowell at 76. He's not sexy, but he loves these kind of shorter courses, kind of more shot maker, less than driver courses. Plays much better at those. But unlike Noren, not a big birdie guy. So Graham's more of a cash game than a GPP type play.
Did you know Graham McDowell is like second on the longest made cuts list on the tour now?
No, I did not. So it's even more of a cash game play. Or does that mean he's going to be coming off soon?
I don't know. So Fanshare tweeted this out an hour ago. Consecutive cuts made coming in the RBC Canadian. DJ is number one with 19 straight. McDowell's second with 11 straight. And then Stenson and KH Lee at 7 straight. And then Piercy and Noren at 6 straight.
Nice.
What a terrible
field.
Talk about like the carnage that has ensued. I mean, nobody can even get over.
Rory, JT, Kuchar, like all these elite names. They've
Woodland. Yep. Yeah.
Crazy. But and then a couple more outside of McDowell. Again, not great plays, but play good on courses like this. It'd be Corey Connors at 75, Mackenzie Hughes at 75. Both coming in okay form, nothing crazy. Mackenzie at T8 at the Charles Schwab didn't play last week. And we look at Corey Connors, we know he won a couple weeks back, but at a T65 Memorial, T31, T64 in his last three events. Nothing crazy there, but could put up some numbers in their mainland of Canada. But this whole area here is interesting. Like McDowell, Neiman, Noren, kind of the main focuses at 7,500 above. One guy I want to ask you about, we were all over him earlier this year. He's kind of struggled of late, but when it comes to iron play, he's been off, but when he's locked in, he's one of the best. And that's Sungjae Im. At this price point, do you have any desire to play Sungjae?
Man, he just tilts me to no end. Like when I play him, he's terrible. When I don't, I can't. I don't know, man. He's had a really odd year. I mean, he had a good stretch there for a while, and now he's fallen off. I don't know, man. Like my issue with him is just not hitting a whole hell of a lot of greens at this point. He's actually hitting it decent off the tee. But I mean, I could see why you would play him. The upside is there, but he's played like every week since the Wells Fargo.
Yeah. He takes very limited time off.
God.
So, 7,400 and below. I only have a couple here, so I'll get it out of the way quickly. KH Lee was on my list. I liked him a lot last week. He fell apart with a 79 on Sunday. Otherwise, he was in contention going into it, so I liked him quite a bit. I don't mind him again this week. cut maker with some upside. Danny Lee missed the cut last week, and I love him on short courses where he can play his irons. I think his ownership's going to be super low. I got no problem going back to a Danny Lee who had a T48, T36 the two previous weeks. You can take a chance on him. You know, at the RBC, a T41, Valero, a 7th, Valspar, a 54. So he can make cuts and put up some numbers at these types of courses. And then a couple others, and literally I didn't want to do much more below this, but if you need to go lower, guys with upside and can play well, like Scott Stallings, Brian Gay at $7,200. For me, it's pretty rough when you get down below here. But I'm curious, what do you like $7,400 and below?
Yeah, I mean, I'll second that KH Lee call there. I mean, he played really well until the weekend, obviously. And but he even started really well on Saturday. Like, he came out firing on Saturday and then fell apart. Trey Mullinax, another one at $7,300. You know, another guy who I rarely ever get correct, so you may just want to fade him for me mentioning his name. Sebastian Munoz is high up on the list, or up on my model on Fantasy Labs. 7th place last week on the web.com tour, 10th at the Byron Nelson, and 38th at the Wells Fargo Championship in his last two PGA starts. Those are his last three starts total, three missed cuts before that, but he's high up the model, so the stats are there. Another guy, Peter Malnati, $7,100, two straight made cuts, finished 17th at the Memorial Tournament. And then Taylor Gooch, he's just been on and off. I mean, missed the cut last week, two straight 76s, but, you know, it could be a good bounce back week for him. I think he's Canadian, isn't he?
That's a great question. I can find out real quick by clicking on his name here on DraftKings. It usually tells you.
No, he's American.
United States of America. He is America. That's what he is.
Not even fucking close. Do you know the last time a
Canadian won this tournament?
Yes.
No, what's the answer?
65 years ago.
Well, no time better than this year. I'm just kidding.
Another guy who I'll be rooting for. I don't know if I don't think I would play him, but he did finish 4th here. In 2012 is Josh Teeter.
I was wondering if you were going to mention him.
$7,000. Did make the cut to Charles Schwab.
I'm playing a little better.
I hope he can do well this week.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. We're all pulling for Teeter. That's no question there. All right. If you're going stars and scrubs, Jesse, we're going to have to go down below here. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple I can put in there, but not like recent weeks where I'm pretty confident in one or two. It's dicey. What do you like down here?
I start at 6,900. Zach Susher.
Let's go with Susher.
Susher. 2nd place finish last week at the Rex Hospital Open there on the web. Did miss the cut in Knoxville Open, but he's made two straight cuts on tour, which was the Byron Nelson and the Wells Fargo. So at $6,900, very interesting there. Tyler Duncan, you mentioned him earlier in your fan share stuff. Coming off a 5th place finish at the Byron Nelson, which was his last start. Shit ton of missed cuts this year, but that's what you get when you're down here in the $6,000 range. Jim Noose.
Yep.
Did we ever figure out how to pronounce his name?
I'm going with Noose.
Noose. Missed the cut at the Byron Nelson, but did finish 13th at the Wells Fargo. Decently high enough on the model for at least for the $6,000 range. And that is it for me.
Yeah, it's rough. Like, these are just guys that I know that can contend. It could be dicier than hell. I'm pretty sure if you're playing guys in the 6K, it's a GPP anyways. You're not playing cash down here. But some guys, you know, make, you know, recent cuts in the 40s with upside, like David Lingmerth at $6,900. We've seen a pedigree there. It's not great at times, but he at least gives us something. Hank Labordia, the bod at $6,700, a guy we've played a couple times. Missed the cut at the Byron Nelson, but prior to that, T50, a 17th at the Valero. He made about 5 cuts in a row with a little bit of upside there, so I don't hate that on a course like this. My boy at 6,400, Julian Etienne, he's not going to contend for you, but he makes cuts. That's about all I can tell you. Like, if you're looking for a guy that's going to contend from down here, it's probably not Etienne, but if you need a guy to make a cut to get through a 66, it could be him. The Boz, Dominic Bazzelli at 63, another guy we've seen contend, especially in weaker fields. T70 at the Schwab, missed 2 cuts. T39 at Punta Cana, missed some cuts, T25 at Puerto Rico. Shitty fields. There you go. The last few guys here, these are just wings and prayers down below. I don't have a David Lipsky like last week that I really liked, but Chase Wright at $6,200. He's made a couple straight cuts here. T72 at the Byron Nelson, T38 at Wells Fargo. And then two guys at 6K. If you want to go super stars and scrubs, Seth Reeves at $6,000. You know, ball striker, nothing crazy, but a T63 at Byron Nelson. Missed two cuts, T18, then missed some cuts. Dicey, but does have upside. And then the last one is Martin Piller at 6K. I kind of like him more than Reeves, to tell you the truth. He missed the Byron Nelson and Wells Fargo, but then a T44, a T25, T32 at the RSM. So on the weaker fields, he plays pretty well. Otherwise, it's ugly, and that's why he's $6,000. So grand scheme of things, Jesse, don't go down there. That's all I'm going to say. It's ugly. Those are just the guys, if you have to take crap shoots. Personally, I wouldn't go below Bazzelli for me, but those are guys if you want to go super punts that are down there. All right, let's recap it real quick. You got five guys in the 10K and above. If you have to pick just one, not named Dustin Johnson, who are you taking?
I'll go with Rory. I'll just stick to my guns.
Okay, I'm going to go Cooch. 9K area, give me one guy.
I guess it's Webb.
Yeah, I like Webb a lot. I'll go Stenson to give it a little different taste. But those would be – I'm going to try to start a lineup with those two and see where it takes me. It might not be pretty, but I'm going to check it out. 8K range, give me two.
Lowry and Berger.
Duffner and – Bud Colley, but if Bud Colley's chalky, I'm going to pivot to Adam Hadwin. I'll tell you that right now. This is kind of that gut feeling with Hadwin. Don't know why, just a feeling with him this week.
He's a Canadian.
Yeah, no, he's a Canuck. So he's a local boy. He's been playing well. He likes those kind of shorter courses. We've seen him play really well at those kind of fields. I wouldn't be shocked if he put together at least, you know, a T20 type week. So 7K range. Give me about three guys you're looking at here.
Noren, Van Ruyen, and Munoz.
I love the Van Ruyen and Noren call. I love those a lot. To give three different ones, though, to make it a little different, I'll go Graham McDowell, K.H. Lee, and Corey Connors. Those would be the three guys I'd be looking at. Those guys should all be in the 6Ks. 6K range, give me one guy.
Zach Susher.
Susher. I love it. I love it. I'm going to go Sutcher. Dave.
Yeah. I'm going to say Sucher because it's S-U-C-H-E-R, so that's Such.
What about Sucker?
No, I think it's Such. Sucher. I'm going with Sucher. I'm going with Zach Sucher.
And then my guy would be David Lingmerth at $6,900. That's the guy I'll be going with. All right, this seems like a GPP week in general, Jesse, but if you got to start a lineup with three guys, who are you starting it with?
For GPPs, correct?
Yes, GPP.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get – you know, like we talked about earlier, I think Cooch, hopefully his ownership is suppressed. Could be totally wrong about that, but I would imagine it's got to be, especially in lower dollar GPPs. So don't mind starting with Cooch. And then Noren, excuse me, and Lowry.
I like that. I'm going to do Colley, Noren, and Hughes, kind of a core GPP play, see where it goes from there. If you're starting cash, what are three guys you'd like to start a cash lineup with?
I don't endorse playing cash. But if you're playing cash, I think Nick Watney is semi-cash viable at $7,500. It's just such a rough week. And then Stenson and Webb.
Stenson and Webb. Yeah, I got Webb, Furyk, and Graham McDowell. It would be three guys I'd start a cash lineup with.
I like the McDowell call, but
I'm feeling
they it. Also said in their tweet that this tweet has been the kiss of death. So,
well, that's just outstanding for Dustin Johnson.
And Graham McDowell. So, you know, obviously.
No, we're just going to pretend.
The grand scheme of things, it has no bearing on it, but us as gamblers, we have so many fucking superstitions.
Yes, very, very superstitious. Speaking of gambling, who do you have winning this thing? Odds are horrible.
What's Webb's odds?
Webb was the first guy I wrote down because he's 20-1. I think that's respectable in this field.
I mean.
Canley was 20-1 last week, and he was touted everywhere.
Yeah. What about Berger?
The Bergs, Daniel Berger is 66-1. That's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is like there's nobody really down low there who's trending towards a win. But then again, you know, I mean, that's why you could only get Cantlay at 20-1 last week. So, you know.
Yeah, like you can get JB at 125. He's the kind of guy that boomer busted type deal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that, you know, he's a winner already this year on tour that played well here last time. I could make a case for him for sure at 125-1. So wouldn't mind that, but his fucking form coming in is just something awful.
He needs to change the color of his glove. Yeah, I got Webb at 20-1, Duffner at 50-1, Sungjae at 80-1, just because I think he can pop sometime. But the other guy I just noticed when we were scrolling around that's interesting to me is Henrik's 33-1.
Yeah, Stenson I could see at 33-1, taking a little piece of that.
It's a weird week. It's have fun. It's golf for another week, but the big week's next week, Jesse.
Yes, 100%.
We're going to record on Sunday night. We're working on locking down a third voice for the podcast to give you guys a little more info on it. Like I said, I don't know if we were recording or not. I thought we were. Yeah, we were. I'll be out there next Tuesday for the practice round, so I'll give you more information. We'll talk about it this Sunday. But, Jesse, any final thoughts on this week before the major?
Not a lot. We still have YouTube up. So if you're a video person, you can still go to youtube.com and Google Always Press DFS and watch us on there if you prefer to do so instead of just listening to us talk all this dumb shit. Again, it's a great week not to go like super hard. I would not play any cash this week. I mean, if you're ballsy enough to, you can figure something out with it. You know, I get it. I would just, it's going to be like, there's going to be some weird stuff happen. I can almost guarantee you on Thursday and Friday.
Yep. It's going to be a wild one, but we're here to make it happen. So if you have any questions throughout the week, join us in the FSD Slack chat. It's free. Send Jesse and I a DM or whatever with your email, or DM the @FantasyDGens Twitter handle, and we'll take care of you, get you in there. It's tons and tons of fun. But until then, Jesse, you can find Jesse on Twitter @DFSGolfGods, the podcast @AlwaysPressDFS. And I'm @BDintrick. A rating and review on iTunes would be much appreciated. But this was the 2019 Canadian Open preview. Catch you guys later. The show goes on, all night to the morning we dream.